You know, I want to count it a privilege to be with you this morning. Certainly, at my age, I count it a privilege anytime I can come into the house of the Lord, share with other pastors and fellow workers, and each one that desires to be in the kingdom of God. I do count it a privilege to share the pulpit ministry this morning with my dear friend and beloved brother, Pastor Karam. It is a privilege to me, and I count it a privilege to be able to do just that. I've known him for quite a while, and I look at his church and ours as sister churches. And so some of the things that we have gone through together encourages me greatly. Also behind me is Pastor Brogan, who had the opportunity to be with us for years in his younger life, and now he's a father and husband, has children. The Lord has planted him in his place of calling, and we certainly appreciate that. And I'm very proud of you, Pastor. All right, certainly. All right, this morning I want to look at something in regards to passing through the fire. Passing through the fire with the Spirit of the Lord. All right, passing through the fire with the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question. Where would you be without the Spirit of the Lord? Where would you be? Now, I want to look at fire just for a minute. All of you are probably knowledgeable of the fire that's going on out west. And the last time I checked on it, there was about 100 acres that had been devoured and about 700 homes. And my interest was on one house where there was a fireman. He had a hose, and he was continually putting on this house. Well, why my interest was there is that every other house around it was devoured, but the one where it received the water stayed there. And so I said, well, Lord, that's amazing. You know, and I say that because I want to use that analogy a little later. Turning with your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read verse 26 through 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many wise, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, I say that because we need to forsake not the Holy Spirit. We need to pay full attention to what God wants. There's no flesh that will glory in his presence. Things that are despised, God has chosen. And sometimes we want the glory cloud, we want the reputation, we want the testimony. But I'm more convinced that God is taking us through, that we might have and know the things that are freely given to us, freely given to us. God is not done giving to Zion Fellowship, all right? I want to look at chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God is a desire of my heart, has been for years. Lord, I want to know the things that you want to give, not only to myself, but certainly to Zion Fellowship, certainly to each church. And I want to look at a little point, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountain be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the street. Now, I know this is in another context, but I want to take it now as we would have cisterns of our own that had been filled with water. And where we have received that water depends upon what is in our cisterns. And because it's very clear here what we are supposed to be doing, Zion is to let this fountain flow out to nations. And what's in these cisterns are supposed to be teachers of righteousness who are flowing out to the streets of cities and towns, outlying areas. So it's very clear here that we need to pay attention to cisterns. And I am looking for the Lord to speak to our hearts. It's one thing to receive salvation, birth in salvation. It's another thing to be birthed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to be birthed into Zion, Psalm 87, verse 5. But I want to stretch it out and say it's another thing to be birthed into the Spirit of God so that we are flowing in the Spirit. So otherwise, we can have salvation, we can have the Holy Spirit, we can have the birthing, the knowledge of Zion, but it's altogether a different thing to have that message flowing in our spirit, flowing. This is what God wants to do. And I am looking at another little Proverbs, one chapter over, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. My son, keep father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them upon thy neck. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, my father's commandments and my mother's law. I want to give you an experience where I felt that I had my first acknowledgement that I needed to be birthed into the Spirit. And I was at a school 45 years ago. I left an accredited college and went to a school because I wanted to be exposed to the school of the Spirit. And so I was exposed to Pastor Bailey and Sister Bailey. And I was on my way to work one day, and way out in the middle of nowhere, there's an intersection. And in that intersection, much to my surprise, was Sister Bailey. She had just got T-boned. And there she was, half out of the car and half lying on the road. And here I come. And so I stopped the car. I went over and I got her. And I said, I'm going to take you to the hospital. She said, no, you're not. Well, I had just turned over from 5 years as an x-ray tech, and I knew very well that she needed to go see what's wrong with her body. And so I got her in the car. She said to me again, she said, take me to Brian. I knew who that was, right? So I put her in the car, which is against all things that you do today, absolutely against all law of code, of policies. Took her to school, you know, all 100 pounds, and took her up to her room. Later in the bed, he came up the stairs and went to work. And then the Lord started to deal with me because he was teaching divine healing, my first time I ever heard anything about that, in that expression of the healings and the princes and the fallen angels and all these things that were new to me. He was giving that, and I was listening. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go back after work, and I want you to go up, and I want you to pray for her. And I said, I'm a fresh, new little student here, and I'm listening to somebody who's telling me things that I need to have imparted. And so I drove to the car, tiptoed up the steps, just about ready to hit the door. I can't do that. And it went down in my car and left. He was teaching the next day on divine healing, just like everything was fine. Her lungs had been punctured, and they were filling up with water. In fact, she literally would be suffocating. The second day, the Lord's still dealing with me. I'm selling shoes at JCPenney. In the meantime, the Spirit of God's all over me. Coming back, going up to the school. I said, well, if there's no light on, I'm not going. But there was a light on. And so up the steps I went. And got right to the door. Knock, knock. The door opens. Oh, I've been expecting you. He wasn't expecting me. he was expecting an answer to whatever he was praying for. Well, I want to conclude this because I want us to understand something. Why I'm speaking about the Spirit of the Lord taking us through the fire, he was teaching divine healing like all was well with his wife. In the meantime, I found out that through obedience in my own self had nothing to do with the Lord healing her. It was dealing with me to be exposed to the Spirit of the Lord flowing through a man. And his answer after the Lord healed her was this: if the Lord can dry up the Red Sea, he can certainly dry up my wife's lungs. And from that time on, I had a birthing into the reality of what it meant to flow through the Spirit of God, have it flowing through you, and trust for the miraculous, because exactly that is what would have happened, all right? Now, another time, this was the Father, my spiritual father. Another time, 25 years later, here comes my spiritual mother, Sister Bailey. And she gets us over here, my wife and I, over one of the tables, and she's speaking to us before her problems. She takes our hands and she says, I want to pray for you, you little babies. Now here I am, I'm about 55 years old, and I was being called a baby. But she was telling me what I was in the eyes of the Lord, spiritually. I had to understand that. And so she said, I want you not to settle for silver. I want you to settle for gold. And so here was the law of the mother coming out to us. And I understood that. And, you know, as that happened in our life, I want to follow through on that, that in Isaiah, we want to look at Isaiah, if you would, with me. Isaiah 48, you know, I'm not one who has always said I've been obedient to what the Lord would have me to do. I've known times when the Lord's asked me to do something and I have gone in the other direction. I hope there's nobody like that here, but I would assume that there's quite a few of us like that, that when the Lord has spoken to us, we have in turn done not exactly the opposite, but just enough so that down the road we were quite a ways from it, right? And so with that in mind, in Isaiah 48, in Isaiah chapter 48, verses 9 and 10, for my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. Obviously speaking of Zion and his people. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So I knew then that for Zion's sake, or his name's sake, I cut thee not off. It's one thing to know that you're in Zion. It's another thing to know that you've been birthed in Zion. It's another thing to know that the Lord wants to have full use of you in Zion, not just to have head knowledge. He wants the Spirit of the Lord to flow through us. And so here he was speaking. I refine thee not with silver, but taking you through the furnace of affliction. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. You know, the Lord says, I will not give my glory to another. Or that means polluted water. So I was in tune for a spiritual. No, I shouldn't say I was in tune. I should say I was in line for a spiritual encounter. And I don't mind sharing my spiritual things with you. In fact, I want to help anybody who might. So I'm turning to Jeremiah chapter 18. And as it came time for the spiritual encounter to the furnace of affliction, the Lord's dealing with my life, we look there, chapter 18 of Jeremiah. The Lord's word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand of the potter, and so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You know, the potter's house, to hear his words. The Lord takes us to that experience to hear his words. I had known what it was to hear the Lord's words, but you know, the clay was marred in the hands of the potter. I didn't lose the Lord's touch. I was still in the hands of the potter. But there comes a time when we can deviate. We can change course, or we do things that are not right. And he made another vessel that seemed good to the potter. You know, he's speaking about the house of Israel, but I want to say that he had to pick up the pieces in my life, pick them up, put them back in his hand, put me back on the wheel, and mold me again into a vessel that would hear his words and could be trusted with his words. I say that for a reason, and we'll get to that, all right? Our room is called Potter Room, P-O-T-T-E-R, for a reason, to always remind me that there was a time when I was marred and the Lord had to deal with me, literally take away that vessel, pick up the pieces, put me back on the wheel again so that I would be restored and I could hear his words and that the Spirit of God would again flow through. And I am so thankful for that. A new vessel to carry wine. And now I want to look at that. It's a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. If you would turn with me over to John chapter 2. A new vessel to carry wine. Well, speaking of the Spirit of the Lord, Lord, cause me to hear the words spoken to my spirit. And you know the marriage feast. You know that each time that they brought the vessels, that sooner or later they got to the place where there was no more. And so here we are, after the Lord was there at the marriage feast, it came a time when the water pots, and I want to look at that, verse 7 and 8, chapter 2, 7 and 8. The water pots were made of stone, six of them. Six speaks of man, as stone speaks of man's efforts to purify himself. Impossible, impossible, all right? And the Lord spoke to the servant, and he said, fill to the brim, fill to the brim. And I believe that something is happening as we wait upon the Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord to come to us, that we would be filled to the brim. Water, speaking of the Word of God, that we should be studying the Word of God. We should have knowledge of the ways of the Lord. But we should not be vessels that are not filled to the brim. Because when the vessels were filled to the brim, in John chapter 14, verse 12, John chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now the Lord Jesus has certainly gone unto the Father. We know that. And the Spirit of the Lord wants to come upon us and wants a birthing into the Spirit of the Lord that would take us to a place where he would be in full control of the power, his might, and that healing river that he has so promised the Zion Fellowship. He wants to be in full control. The Lord wasn't in full control of that first vessel that I was. I had to go down to the potter house. I had to go down and be remade into a vessel that would be good to, in his hands, and that I believe that he could have full control of. We certainly want the Lord to have full control of our life. And you know, we come to a place where we have to acknowledge in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, you know, there was a time in my life I just waited patiently for the Lord for deliverance from the position, the place where I had established by my own choices. And then I understand it's God who brought me up out of a horrible situation. He set my feet on a rock and he established my goings. I have complete confidence in the Spirit of the Lord that it's going to move again upon us. But he wants to establish my goings by the Spirit of the Lord. He's not interested in establishing my goings just by my intellect, by what I know. The smartest man on earth is one who could say, there's many, many things that I don't know. And because I don't know them, then I'm considered wise. But you're not considered wise if you think you know everything. You're considered wise if you know that there are things that you don't understand. And then you're considered that you know there's areas that to improve upon. So here we are. I'm saying, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. It's by the Spirit of the Lord that you did that. The Spirit of the Lord came into my life afresh and anew. That which was birthed, the Spirit of the Lord came in and gave me opportunity to be able to flow in the might and the power and the healing stream that's going to come. It was the Spirit of the Lord that did that. And I understand that. And I go back. And I go back to that. And I want to close shortly. I want to look at another little verse. You know, it's found over in Isaiah chapter 12, 1 and 3. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, and thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. I want to go back to drawing water out of the wells. I want to go back and look at Proverbs again, if you would, with me, please. I'm using a Bible that I've had since 1952, and those onion sheets are not so easy to turn. I have to be careful with them. All right. Back in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thy own well. You know, I want to look at that. Great is the Holy One in the midst of thee, our founder, Zion Fellowship, and his wife. His answer was, when he needed the flow of the Spirit, his answer was, if God can dry up the Red Sea, he surely can dry up my wife's lungs. And you know, and God did it. And God did it. And so the well, the water that I want to draw from to fill the cistern that we have. A cistern is the supply of extra water. And yes, our cisterns might be empty, and they might just have a little bit of dew on the outside of them, meaning that there was water there. And we need to have a fresh anointing from the Lord. I saw a cistern like that one day, and it stays with me. I opened the top and looked in. It was empty, but the bricks on the side still had the remain of dew. And I felt that's what the Lord was speaking to us, that we want to be very, very careful that where we are going to draw our water to fill our cistern must come from the foundation of Zion. It must come from the message of our founders who paid the price. Otherwise, we want to look at what they said. They invested in the future. They touched the future. They had dreams, visions, experiences of what was going to happen in the future. But they also taught us how to finish our course. How to finish our course. With the Spirit of the Lord being manifested in us. That they saw the flow of the Spirit of God manifested in us, flowing in the last days. And they taught us, they spoke to us. Now, here we are. Well, I'm looking now at, we will close with Jeremiah. I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. One of the biggest mistakes we can possibly make is to start looking for cisterns that are being filled up with water that has nothing to do with Zion's message, has nothing to do with waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to come down in our midst, waiting for the supernatural to affect us like it did on the day of Pentecost. They were never the same. And I have an expectancy that was just one-tenth. The nine-tenths is yet to remain. So I'm looking for the Spirit of the Lord to flow through. And I'm very, very careful of what's in my cistern because there's a challenge here. The challenge is we want to be very, very careful. We don't want to forsake what the founders have done and laid for us. We don't want to forsake that they pursued the Spirit of the Lord and they had the might and the power and the glory and the healing flowing through them. And it is our inheritance. And I say very openly to us, you know, Lord, you said that Zion shall come forth in a day. I trust that I will be alive on that day. You said that, Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord that we give birth into will create a hunger in our heart that we will expect that. And we will understand that. And we will ask the Lord to birth in us the cisterns that will have clear running water. And the Lord wants clear running water in his teachers of righteousness. And that's what Zion stands for. We stand for holding together for righteousness. We stand for pursuing holiness. We stand for having the right doctrines that have been taught us. We stand for expecting the glory cloud to come upon the fellowship. And I'm sure that you feel like I do. And so with expectancy, I just close here and say, I'm passing through, and I have passed through the little furnace of affliction, but it's changed me. It's made a difference in my life. I don't have the answers anymore. I just expect the Lord Jesus to speak to my heart and keep me on the path of righteousness and holiness, that I may be a recipient, that my cistern, even though it might have just dew on it, my cistern would draw water from the wells of Zion, the meshes of Zion, the spiritual foundation that was left to us. Lord, I want to draw water from that. I don't want to draw water from another source that will hold no life. Here we are. Let's pray. If there's any of you that feel that you would like to have your cistern hold the water that comes through the purity of Zion Fellowship and message, stand with me and we'll pray.